9:30, Fight the Empire. Host Per Fogering takes a long look at the past and the future. At 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Between the Covers, author Amy P. Knight talks about her new genre-bending novel, Lost Almost. And at 11:30, Black Book Talk wants to know what's on your summer reading list. Call in to join the conversation. Thanks, KBOO members, for your support. To keep informed and get involved, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO, with news from your community radio station.
My name is Mike Crenshaw, and you are listening to News from the Boo, the weekly news segment featuring news from in and around the KBOO community. And today I have two very special guests with me. I have Ibrahim and Melissa, who are both helping to organize and plan Pitch a Tent. Welcome, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Growing good. The 666 is Devil's Day, so.
Satan's birthday, so watch out, you guys. Be careful. Tell us a little bit about Pitch a Tent. Why don't we start with you, Melissa? You've been helping organize this year's Pitch a Tent. What would you call it? A festival?
That's a good question. I in describing it to other folks, I called it kind of a celebration. Both highlighting some oppressive city policies at the same time, letting the houses community lead their own party, basically.
Okay. So you say oppressive city policies and the houseless community. Ibrahim, tell us about the history of Pitch a Tent and what it has to do with the houseless community.
Well, Pitch a Tent derived from when Leo Rhodes read something in the paper and saying that the city give a permit which allow people that live in houses to come out and put a tent on the sidewalk and stay overnight to watch the parade the next morning. And so we looked at this ordinance and said, wow, they criminalize houseless people for putting tents up, but not people that live, that have shelter. And this is kind of ironic that they would criminalize people for seeking shelter when they give permit so it can happen. So we went to Right to Survive and we said, let's do a direct action. And so we figured out what to do and what would be the best spot location to have a staging place. And in the meantime, we had people scouting the parade route and figured that since they turn on 4th and Southwest Avenue, then we went down 4th Street and found a good location on 4th and Southwest Washington. And the first year, we put had 2.5 blocks of tents and asked the houseless people, can they come in and stay overnight? And they was all reluctant in doing it, thinking they was going to get swept, get interviewed, and get criminalized for, you know, sleeping. So we printed out ordinance which said that the city allowed people to put tents out overnight and wait for the parade. It didn't say house people, houseless people, tall people, short people, skinny people. You get the message. And so the police tried to kick us off because they saw a bunch of houseless people, and we showed them the ordinance. And even the business people was kind of angry because they said we was stopping people from patronizing their business. So they called assistant district attorney, and she came down and told them that we was in our right. And so it went from there. We invited guest speaker entertainers such as you, Mike, and it's been going on for 8 years now.
8 years.
8 years.
Eight yeah. years strong, Pitch yeah. a Tent. Okay, so you said some nonviolent direct action, right?
Well, it was nonviolent, but we intended to be nonviolent, but we got a lot of it was never physical, but a lot of verbal and a lot of police trying to discourage us, and the houseless people unsettled. So but we developed peacekeepers. We kept everybody at ease. And the food and the entertainment really made it a good staging thing because people wanted to know, why is all these people here? And we was passing out information. We had information booth, and we had people talking to ongoers and lookers and bypassers and stuff. And so the next day, the people came out and sat in a tent and watched the parade. And they said that was the best sleep they had. Mm. What do we do now? And so the organizer at Right to Survive said, we don't know. And Trillium Shannon suggested we go to the Rainbow Gathering to debrief, because that was a really tedious thing to do, our first time doing it and dealing with all kinds of social status and mentality. So why in the mountains, at the Rainbow, I get a call from this guy who said, the city won't let me do what I want to do with my land, and I'm trying to make money as a survival, and since they won't let me do nothing, I give it to you for $1 a month if you won't cause me no harm on my land. And so we got together, Right to Survive, and tried to figure out what to do with that land. And so Leo said, you heard what people say. That was the best rest they had. And so all our minds start clicking and the wheels start turning, and we're trying to figure out how would people get rest. And so they wanted to, it was always called, we wanted the people to have a rest area. And so they wanted people, since there's no loitering around, to come and sit and listen to some nice music, play chess or checkers, and just sit and enjoy themselves. And I said, no, a rest area. Let people sleep. So to people who don't know, that's how Right to Dream 2 got started, because houseless people have a right to dream. And most people dream when they sleep, unless you have daytime nightmares or daydreaming or something like that.
Daytime nightmares. That's going to be the name of my new band. I like that. So, right to survive.
Yes.
Right to dream.
Yeah.
These are two separate things that are related to each other. Right to survive came out of advocating for houseless people, the right to have a safe place to be on the streets.
Yes.
And Right to Dream came out of actual piece of land that was set aside for houseless people, a rest stop.
Yes.
To take care of their needs and have some rest, some safety.
Exactly.
In the city. Exactly. And Pitch a Tent is this direct action where houseless people are holding space, just like people who come all the way from the suburbs.
Exactly.
To sleep overnight on the street and get drunk and harass people. Leads to all types of problems. Yeah. So, Melissa, how many years have you been involved with Pitch a Tent? And what are some of the challenges that you face? And what are some of the victories?
Yeah, so I got involved about 3 years ago. Some of the challenges are getting enough folks to really come down and commit to doing positions like peacekeeping and that type of thing. But at the same time, that's also a victory, is when it always just seems to come together because folks show up, they want to know how they can help. There's a lot of places that want to donate food, which is really cool. There's a lot of artists who, you know, typically don't play for free but come down and do that service. So it's really inspiring to see a lot of people come together and, just give their services for the houseless community. This year we've got some comedians, which I think is really great, and Ibrahim and I were already talking about, let's do a comedy show annually for the community. And just giving a platform, too, for new artists, which I think is really great.
Right on. So then, if people are listening and they want to come down and volunteer or just enjoy the show, when is it happening? Where is it happening? And how long does it go on for?
Yeah, so if people already know they want to volunteer, a good way to do that is to message us on Facebook. And that way I can connect back with them and find a good spot for them. But otherwise, you can come down to Southwest Washington and 4th. And we're going to be there early in the morning, and then the parade starts. So around 10:30 is a good time to show up if you're just kind of coming on call. And we'll be there 24 hours. So we'll be closing up shop around 9 a.m. the next morning. So we're definitely going to need people. You know, if you can't come to the event, you can come that next morning and help us break down everything, because we want to leave it nice and perfect and clean, unlike many of the other folks who camp out, who are housed and leave it like a mess, you know?
Okay. So we've got June 8th through June 9th.
Yeah.
If you want to get involved, come down to Southwest 4th in Washington around 10:30 on June 8th. And music will be going throughout the day. Live music for many local artists, performers, comedians. There will be food down there and plenty for people to do if they want to volunteer. And then it's going to end on June 9th, Southwest 4th in Washington. You said people reach out to you on Facebook. Where can they find you on Facebook?
Just Right to Survive.
Okay, Right to Survive on Facebook. So like that, follow that, and message them and get news and information about how you can be involved. Ibrahim, you know, you mentioned Right to Dream, and we understand that was a contentious issue. It was right there at the opening of Chinatown. We also understand that there are interests in the city that want houseless people to be invisible. They want them out of sight and out of mind, and we understand that Right to Dream had to move on from that location. What's the story currently with Right to Dream?
The story currently with Right to Dream, they are still in operation form as well as possible. However, reading a recent article in The Guardian, they did a survey on tiny house villages and tent cities that's ran and operated by the houseless community itself. And when we was in right at the Chinese Gate in Old Town Chinatown, crime went down 0.8%. And when we left, it went up 25%. Mm. So some of the business people in that area seeking to bring another tent city or even Right to Dream 2 back to that area. It's sad that people are now being reduced to being out of sight, out of mind, and they sleeping in their cars, and car camping is their new affordable housing for most people, so they can be out the elements and not swept. But now people are targeting, the police is targeting and ticketing the cars that people are sleeping in and having them towed away. So it's a lot of work still necessary to be done, and it's going to be done because the houseless community is constantly growing. I think it was up 13% than last year. So this event that we given on June 8th on 4th and Southwest Washington, we're going to need more hygiene supplies, more food, more clothing. Anything you haven't worn in a year, you won't wear anymore. So bring those clothes down and give them to people.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring an archive contractor for 40 hours a week for $20 an hour. This is a contract position that will last from July through December of 2018. The archive contractor will steward the KBOO archival assets in all forms. They will work with historical KBOO content in many audio formats, as well as the Resource Space Archival Database, documents of KBOO history, and KBOO staff and volunteers. Please send in a resume, cover letter, and answer the question, why is KBOO important, to del@kboo.org. That's del@kboo.org. More information about responsibilities and position requirements can be found at kboo.fm.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.